Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
John 1 and 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I'm going to step out on a limb here and say that everybody in here has somebody in their life that they need to forgive. In this life, we're always struggling to let go of some past hurt or some pain or some slander or some lie that has been told against us. And if you are among the few that are in a current state of forgiveness, that means that you've been able to release and let go of whatever something has happened or whatever someone did against you or whatever has happened to you. But I submit to you, if you are in the forgiven state, to get ready, because somebody else is going to hurt your feelings. Somebody else is going to make you mad. And you're going to have to start the forgiveness process all over again. Now, lately, I've been watching a lot of Oprah, because it's her last season. It's the 25th year. And I've gotten caught up in the hoopla of her last season. And you may have seen the reunion, that the 25th anniversary reunion of the cast of The Color Purple. Did anybody see that? All right, well, during this particular show, Whoopi and Oprah had a very interesting conversation in front of America, because for 25 years, there had been a rift between them. For 25 years, they hadn't spoken to one another. And for 25 years, Whoopi thought Oprah was mad at her, and Oprah thought Whoopi was mad at her. It wasn't until Tyler Perry invited them both over to a party at his house that Whoopi went up to Oprah and said, "Have I done something to you?" And Oprah said, "No, I thought I had done something to you." And in an instant, a 25-year estrangement was dissolved. Most estrangements occur as a result of some misunderstanding and some miscommunication that causes a lot of separation in a variety of different types of relationships. And in this life, we're going to fight with somebody. We're going to argue with somebody. We're not going to always get along. Am I right about it? But as people of God, we have a responsibility to forgive. And if you know anything about forgiveness, you know that it takes work, and it also takes a comprehensive understanding of what forgiveness really is. We need to understand that forgiveness is not earned. Forgiveness is not based on what somebody deserves. Forgiveness is an act of love. And the Bible tells us if we're unable to forgive, oh Lord, have mercy, God will be unwilling to forgive us. Don't miss it. If we're unable to forgive, God's going to be unwilling, not unable, unwilling to forgive us. But forgiveness doesn't restore relationships. So the step that has to come after forgiveness is reconciliation. For the parties that are involved in the dispute, they've got got to be able to return back to some authentic type of relationship, even if the relationship has to be redefined. So when you compare forgiveness and reconciliation, some might think forgiveness is easy compared to reconciliation, because I've heard a lot of people say through the years, I'll forgive you, but I ain't gonna never forget it. Never ever forget what you did to me. How can I forget that? I'll be the fool if I forget what you did to me. And if that's the case, then there's no opportunity for reconciliation, because we're harboring a grudge against that person, and in a moment's notice, we'll be ready to throw it back in their face. Today, I'm going to come to you from the theme, manifestation of reconciliation. Manifestation of reconciliation. Now, you know that all year long, we're going to be studying and wallowing in and just basking in what manifestation truly means, where we're going to be looking for God to show up and show out, where we're not going to look for the move of God, because God is everywhere at once. He ain't got nowhere to go, but we're going to look for him to just reveal himself in fresh and new ways so that we can have a deeper and a more precious understanding of who our God is. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, the only thing you really need to know for the purposes of the word today is that Corinth was a cosmopolitan city. They had a lot of going on. They had a lot of wealth, and they had import and export. So there was a lot of activity going on. It wasn't what you might consider a rural place. It was a city. And whenever there's a city, there's a hotbed of sin as well. And so the new converts in the Corinthian church were having some problems with moving out of their pagan practices and moving into their holiness. And so Paul was addressing a variety of issues as it pertained to their behavior, and to try to get them to have a more clear understanding, not so much of what is expected of them, but what he really needed them to understand, family, is who they were. They needed to know who they were, because when you don't know who you are, you don't know how to act. I'm glad you got it, because I don't have time to elaborate this on that one. But you got it. If you don't know who you are, you won't know how to act. So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 21, and I'm telling you, it's juicy all up and before we get to that. It's juicy. Read it at home. But all I have time for today, my assignment, is verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. the righteousness of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new, somebody say new, has come. As a new creation, we need to understand that we have the power and the authority to return back to our former selves before we were in these bodies. Have you ever taken the time to think about who you were or where you were before you had this body that your quintessential self is temporarily housed in? Once we get saved, we have the ability to return back to the former power and authority we had before we were bound by these bodies. We began as God's word, just like Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Just like Jesus, before our birth to the earth, we existed as the manifested word of God. And all words are spirit and have creative power and the ability to give life. So once we get saved, we have the authority to put flesh under submission. We don't have to listen any longer to the nudgings of the flesh. We don't have to yield any longer to the desires of the flesh. Paul says, as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight because of the deposit of God that has been placed within us that will live with us until we give up the ghost. Is anybody with me other than Reverend Franklin today? Once we've been redeemed, we've been made new, and although it may seem like I'm still an addict, or it may appear that I'm still a fornicator, or it may seem that I still lie on occasion, the blood of Jesus wiped away our former sin, and we are no longer bound by what the flesh can't resist. It may feel like we're still bound because the flesh, I done already told you, got game. The flesh will convince you, even after your salvation, that ain't nothing changed in you. But my Bible says the old has passed away and the new has come. What is bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and what is loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we have the authority to bind up the undesirables and the authority to loose, not just in the atmosphere, but into this body, what we desire. And the truth is, we have everything we need already right here. So because we've been made new, we can disagree with sin. We can disagree with disease. We can disagree with war. We can disagree with earthquakes. We can disagree with tsunamis and anything else that the flesh and the physical world will try to put upon us. But the problem is, we don't know who we are. We got to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. Verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he committed to us the message of reconciliation. To reconcile means to make friendly again, to settle, to redeem, to make content, to bring back together again, to strike an accord, to bring back into harmony. To reconcile is to reunite or to settle with payment. And one dictionary says it's to kiss and make up. To kiss and make up. And often we hear in the church that we have a need for reconciliation because of what took place in the Garden of Eden. Now, I'm not saying that there's no truth to it, but what I'm saying is that's not the whole truth. See, we've been taught to believe that because of what Adam and Eve did, what'd they do? They ate the fruit that God told them not to eat. And they were banished from the garden as a result of their sin. But the reason why I know it can't be the whole truth, because if you think of it like that, then it places power, control, and authority in the hands of Adam and Eve. See, the ultimate reconciliation is needed because of the separation from God that took place when we left the heavenly realm as his word and came down on the earth in the flesh. When we took on these bodily forms, we were separated from God. The Bible says, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God's divine purpose set up humanity to be given an opportunity to come back, to return to an intimate relationship with God at just the right time. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He gives us the opportunity to be agents of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is when the people of God spread the truth that if God reconciled us back to him, then we have the responsibility to be reconciled with one another. The saving act was done at Calvary, and the acceptance was done when we got saved, when we said yes to Jesus. So we have a responsibility to go beyond forgiveness and dwell in a place called reconciliation. It's not okay for God's people to hold grudges against each other. It's not okay for God's people to harbor ill will against each other. It's not okay for God's people to refuse to forgive others their sins and indiscretions when all the while we know we've got some of our own. And it's not okay for us to decide who we will and will not persist in relationship with. Not all relationships are easy. They weren't all intended to be. God has a plan and a lesson for everything that goes on in our life. And there's some relationships that are intended to challenge us so that our character can be developed. Our problem is we have a tendency to choose the wrong people to stay in our lives. And the wrong people to leave our lives. We cut off the wrong branch. Because see, righteousness means that not only will we be in a right, true, and authentic relationship with God, but we will also have a right, true, and authentic relationship with one another. If we cannot love our brother who we have seen, we cannot love God who we have not seen. If God is not counting men's sins against them, we have no right to do that either. This is why so many churches have problems and dissension on the inside, because we're not taught how to be reconciled back to one another. So church folks stay angry, and then they begin to gossip, and then they begin to talk bad about each other and talk behind one another's backs instead of going directly to the person that they think they have an issue with so that they can get to the root of the problem. They rather talk about it with somebody that can't help them solve the problem. So we persist in these misunderstandings and these miscommunications, and we're running like a dog chasing his tail, never getting anything accomplished. But let me tell you something. If somebody comes to you and they tell you they've got a problem with somebody in the church, in your family, on your job, the best advice you can give them is to go directly to that person and deal with the issue at hand. Don't get caught up and involved in somebody else's drama. If we walk in our truth and empower other people to walk in theirs, there will be less issues and more reconciliation in the church. So we won't allow irreparable harm to come to God's family when we commit ourselves to the ministry of reconciliation. The Bible says he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. If the saints of God can't get along and haven't been given the message of reconciliation, how in the world can we expect the world to get along with one another? Look at verse 20. I'm pressing my way. Are you still with me? Verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. An ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest ranking sent by one country to go to another country to represent the country that they came from. Ambassadors are also sometimes assigned to negotiate treaties, to strike an accord with another country on behalf of the country that they came from. The ambassador is still a citizen of the country that it left, but they were sent from their home to be a representation of their home in a foreign land. Are you with me so far? An ambassador helps the foreign country to have a better understanding of the country the ambassador has come from. The ambassador is the country to the foreign land. They're still citizens of their own country, but they've taken up residence in a foreign land. So to be an ambassador of Christ means that we are citizens of the kingdom that we originally came from, although we are currently living here on the earth. It means that while we have these fleshly garments, we still have our citizenship in glory. And while we may be in the world, we are not to be of the world. We're not to allow the flesh or the foreign garments to dictate to us our behavior. We're not to allow the flesh and its desires to tell us how to live our lives and who is in control. We have a responsibility to live and dwell in our heavenly garments, so we must live by the Spirit and not be controlled by the flesh. Paul says, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God that is not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life, eternal life, that is. We are the high-ranking official sent by God to the foreign land known as earth. Just like Jesus, we were sent to the earth in human form. We didn't start in these bodies, and we're not going to end in these bodies. We've been sent to negotiate a treaty with humanity to be reconciled back to God. We have to see, they have to be able to see our reconciliation and find it attractive so that they will seek after it for themselves. This is why we can't afford to let the body be in control, family. We have to stop making up excuses for the body. Like, I can't help myself. This is just who I am. If you think that your flesh is who you are, then you don't know who you are. We're little gods on the earth because God has created us to be his representation on the earth. While he is omnipotent, he has given us power. While he is omnipresent, he has given us manifestation. While he is omniscient, he has given us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We have everything God has, but he has it in omniform. We have everything God has, family, but he has it in omniform. There's a limit to what we have because what we have is contained by our flesh. Somebody still don't get it yet. If you go to the beach with an empty jar and you take that jar and you dip it in the ocean and you pull out some ocean water, the ocean water in the jar is the same as the ocean water in the ocean. But the ocean water in the jar is contained by the jar. That's the same as who we are, family. But we don't know who we are. We have these treasures in earthen vessels. We are God in the flesh, just as Jesus was God in the flesh. No, we're not the Savior. We're the representation of God on the earth. Ambassadors of Christ, sent to reconcile the world back to God. And we have the power of God to change the world, to shift atmospheres, to bind up weather, to shut down what we don't want and to rise up what we do want. He said, be reconciled to God. God's children are being challenged from the first century church to the 21st century church to a way of life that is similar to how we were before we were in these earthen vessels. And in doing so, we provide space, place, and opportunity for others to be reconciled back to God as well. But it's not until we know who we are. I said it's not until we know who we are that we start to walk in the fullness of God that is us. Verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The extraordinary measures that God took for us to be able to come back to him are often underestimated. But it was no small feat for God to make his word become flesh for the explicit and specific purpose to die for our sins. To be on the earth without sin, but to die for our sins. You know already that Jesus was fully human and he was fully divine. And let me just say that we too are fully human and fully divine. But the difference is that Jesus was in fact God. God, and he was able to resist sin and not allow sin to be his master while he dwelled upon the earth. In our righteousness, we struggle against sin and we strive toward holiness because God said, "Be holy, for I am holy." In our holiness, we won't be without sin, but we can sin less. We won't be without sin, but we can sin less. God's righteousness is perfection. It's holiness without fault or blemish. There's no lack in God's righteousness. God's righteousness is the essence of who he is as he has manifested himself to humanity upon the earth. But God is not the sum total of his righteousness. There is more to God than his righteousness. Are you with me so far? God's righteousness is quintessential truth. It's the ultimate truth. See, we have a piece of the truth over here. They have a piece of the truth over there. They have a piece of the truth and they have a piece of the truth. But God's righteousness has all the truth in it. For us to become the righteousness of God, that's different than what I was preaching about the last 2 weeks. For us to become God's righteousness, we must, in essence, become God by functioning in our divine nature, by not gratifying the desires of the flesh, and by yielding to the will of God at all costs, in every occasion, come what may. Then the citizens of the world will begin to see a difference between us and them. They'll begin to recognize that we're foreign to this land. We don't really belong here. There's something really different with you. So the process of becoming little gods on the earth is simple, and at the same time it's complex, because we've got to be able to forgive. And at the same time that we're willing to forgive, we've got to repent of our own sins so that as we are forgiving somebody, God is forgiving us. And then we've got to go the next step and be reconciled back to God, and then to become Christ's ambassadors upon the earth so that others can see the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Still talking about manifestation of reconciliation. Manifestation of reconciliation. And we need to embrace the truth of who we are and start shifting from the world and the church system and start moving and migrating into the kingdom of God. We don't just have the power of God. We are the power of God. We don't just have the presence of God. We are the presence of God. We don't just have the word of God. We are the word of God. We don't just have the victory of God. We are the victory of God. Repeat after me. I am the power of God. I am the presence of God. I am the word of God. And manifestation of God is me. Now, there's somebody in your life who hurts you, did you wrong, made you mad, and you decided you were done. You want to cut them off. You don't want to deal with that foolishness any longer. But in this sacred and holy season of fasting and prayer, we've been challenged, family, to evolve into our best selves. And through our reconciliation back to God and one another, our best selves are little gods on the earth. The old has passed away. The new has come. There may even be somebody in this very church that you're holding a grudge against, that you might be a little bit mad at. You may be talking to others about the situation, and those other folk might even agree with you. But the question is, does God agree? As ministers of reconciliation, we need to be the first ones stepping up, being willing to forgive and restore relationships. God knows that reconciliation is needed in this house, and so he's calling it out today so that we can do something about it. You want to hear God's voice? Be reconciled back to your brother and your sister. You want to operate in spiritual gifts? Be reconciled back to your neighbor. You want to do greater works than Jesus did? You just want to have the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding? Be reconciled back to God. Today is the day. You have been empowered this day to go to that someone, that family member, that friend, that loved one, that neighbor, that co-worker, that church sibling, or even your pastor, and have a conversation that involves forgiveness and reconciliation. Have a conversation that involves letting go and kissing and making up. If you've been living beneath your purpose because the flesh has been having its way for too long, if you've been making up excuses for not living up to who you have been created to be, operating and functioning in the divine will of God, if you have been making up excuses, not doing what you're supposed to do, this is the time, God says, to be reconciled back to him so that he can see himself in your reflection of him. This is manifestation of reconciliation. And we can't just talk about it. We got to be about it, family. People need to be able to hear, see, feel, taste, touch, and experience the fact that we are in authentic relationship with God and each other. So instead of saying, I can't do it, we need to be saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Instead of saying, I'm afraid, we need to be saying that all things are, that God is not going to be pleased with us unless we operate and function by faith. In other words, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Instead of holding a grudge against somebody, remind yourself that God said, vengeance is mine. It is mine to avenge. If God is the ocean, we are the ocean. If God is the universe, we are the universe. If God is the wind, we are the wind. If God is healing, we are healing. If God is deliverance, we are deliverance. If God is joy, we are joy. If God is love, we are love. If God is peace, we are peace. Don't let anything in your flesh stand in the way of your quintessential self. Your divine essence, your best that is yet to come. God has a divine purpose for your life, and you will not die until that purpose is fulfilled. I said, God has a divine purpose for your life, and you will not die until that purpose is fulfilled. Repeat after me. God has a divine purpose for my life, and I will not die until it is fulfilled. God has a divine purpose for my life, and I will not die, and I will not die, and I will not die, and I will not die until that purpose is fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody on your feet, on your feet, on your feet, on your feet. Everybody on your feet. God has a divine purpose for your life, and you will not die until that purpose is fulfilled. If you're here and you know you need some reconciliation in your life, you feel separated from God, not as close to Him as you used to be. You feel like you can't hear Him like you used to. The good news is He's already made provision. Because see, in His mind, you're already reconciled, because He doesn't see you as you are today. But we need to experience the reconciliation for ourselves. And family, we need to know who we are. We need to claim the Godness that is us. We need to recognize that when we open up our mouths and say anything, it begins to manifest on the earth. So if your conversations are laced with negativity, it's no wonder why there's a lot of negativity in your life. This week, talk less and listen more. This week, make the decision that you're not going to let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. This week, decide that you're going to stop saying negative things about yourself. This week, decide not to listen to the flesh. We don't have to listen to the flesh. The flesh puts labels on us. The flesh tries to tell us that we can't resist certain things and that this is who we gonna always be. The flesh lies. Because His Father is the Father of lies. Did you know that? The flesh belonged to the enemy until we subject it to the will and the authority of God. This week, you can see a manifestation of your reconciliation if you commit yourself to these simple things. Now, the challenge has been issued to not only be reconciled back to God, but we got to be reconciled back to one another. So if you're here and you know that you're going to have a conversation this week with somebody, and you just want some prayer, come on up. Just come on up. If you know you got to talk to somebody, you may not want to talk to them. You may not know how to talk to them. But you felt a quickening in your spirit. And you knew you had to say something. Even though you might have vowed you wasn't going to say a thing. You don't even have to want to do it. You in the process of getting to it. But if you acknowledge somebody's hurt you, somebody's angered you, somebody's disappointed you, somebody's made you mad, and you don't want that to separate you from God any longer, come up here for prayer. Come up here to be prayed for. If you're here and you didn't know that you were supposed to be a little God on the earth, not a savior, but an ambassador. If you didn't have that understanding of your spirituality and a light bulb went on over your head today, and you want to be empowered to walk in your Godness, come forward. If you're not already up here, come forward. The old has passed away. The new has come. God is desiring more of us. He wants to do more with us. But we have been standing in the way of being closer. Not just closer to God, but closer to who we really are. And as we go to God in prayer, I encourage you to just believe. Believe that God will give you the words to say, the spirit to say, the timing in which to say it. Believe that you'll begin to see more God in yourself, that your godness will begin to rise up in you, and you will stand and claim your authority as his ambassador upon the earth. Just believe. You don't have to have all the answers right now. All God wants you to do is believe that what he has already given is more than enough, and this prayer will activate it so that you will be able to do what God is instructing for you to do. Pray with me now. Father, we just bless you and praise you for this opportunity to learn who we are. We ask that you forgive us for walking in less than your light, for not claiming our authority, for not binding and loosing on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us for not ministering reconciliation in our families and our homes and our streets and even the church. Forgive us, oh God, for not producing reconciliation in ourselves. Father, we have a desire to return to you, to be closer to you, to be harmonious with you, to kiss and make up so that we can get back to who we were before these bodies bound us to the earth. And in doing so, Father, we stand convinced that whoever it is we need to have a conversation with, you're going to provide for us the timing, the approach, the spirit, and the words, so that they will be able to receive it when we come to them. We ask, oh God, that you will even go before us and prepare their hearts and their minds so that when we do approach them, they will be ready to reconcile. Make it easy, Jesus. Because sometimes we put things in our head and it becomes bigger than what it really is. And so we ask that you soothe our doubts and calm our fears and just make it smooth. Make it easy for us to be reconciled back to that family member, that friend, that loved one, in the name of Jesus. And Father, for those of us who didn't know that we were to be little gods on the earth, for those of us that didn't realize that we were high-ranking officials, citizens of the kingdom, but sent to the earth for a season, we pray that that word will continue to just marinate in our spirits, that seed will take root and bear fruit, that we'll begin to recognize and understand why you've placed us in certain situations and circumstances, and why you've called us to certain relationships, and why you've blessed us with certain gifts. Father, we want to know who we are. We want to have an understanding of who you expect us to be. And we want to live by it, come what may. Teach us to surrender our will, to submit our flesh, and to deny ourselves in order that we can be reflections of you. That when they look at us, they won't see our hairdo, they won't see our clothes, they won't worry about our shoes. But when they look at us, it will be like looking into the very face of the Master. We invite you to shape us and mold us and press us and push us and even put us in the fire, oh God, that we might come out as pure gold. Thank you for our divine purpose. Thank you for reminding us or teaching us that we began as your word, just as Jesus did. Thank you, Lord, for empowering us to recognize that we are more than we thought we were. Help us to walk and live in that authority and to abide in that truth. Manifest reconciliation, oh God, in this family, with these people, so that others will see and know that they can be reconciled back to you. We love you and we bless you. We thank you and we praise you. We worship and adore you, and we count these things as done.